That was Garrett Crochet last night, the voice of a pitcher who knew he should and could stay in the game. He knew his pitch count. He knew how he felt. He knew the situation that the bullpen was in. He knew the situation in the game. And yet, that lying manager, Alex Cora, who told us he was going to go 6 or 7 innings because the bullpen needed help.
All right.
Came out and pulled him.
Misled. You know, 6 innings, I mean, you know, look.
Wait, misled?
He wasn't going to tell you. He really had an idea of how many pitches he wanted from Crochet. He wasn't. He said 6 innings. He was hoping that he could get 85 pitches through 6 innings.
Get
that
him,
was
Teddy.
Not the case.
Get him, Teddy.
That was the case. So
Crochet wanted to pitch 115, and Cora had 85 apparently circled. Honestly.
But why not go out if you just heard from him, say, like, I knew how my body was feeling. I was ready to attack the next hitter. No leeway? You don't get to buy 2 more batters, Ted?
Yeah, that was. I mean, that's – look, I question that call, and I also question, though, putting Liam Hendricks back out for the 7th or the 6th, yeah. The 6th inning. You got his 2 outs in the 5th. And then you put him out there again in the 6th, and that's
after
where
he had a feel-good performance,
which he only pitched 2 innings once this year, and so I don't know.
Was that a Patriots like? Remember last year we got all those instances like the receivers would bitch about not getting the ball, and then it seemed like they would get the ball. It felt like Liam Hendricks is bitching about not pitching, and okay, so we'll get you 2 innings.
This is what you want. Okay, watch.
And it didn't work out very well. Not well.
Real quick before we get into
Rolling.
I was listening to the game last night, and it was. I found this to be very funny. I hope you guys will too. But Will Fleming, it was at the bottom of the 5th inning. Jaren Duran's up at bat, and bases are loaded. I got a kick out of this call. Listen to this call. Jaren Duran, I don't want to say it, but he's at the plate, and this is Will Fleming's call. Listen to this real quick.
Catch is drilled high and deep into right field.
Stop. High and deep.
It's gone.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ahead.
It's gone.
It's gone, right? Go ahead.
Home run.
Catch is drilled high and deep into right field at the track.
Stop.
At the wall.
No doubt. Home run, right?
No. There's a little doubt. A little doubt started to seep into Will's voice at the end there, but I still think it's gone.
It's got to be gone.
Catch is drilled high and deep into right field at the track at the wall. Soto will get there and make the play. The man knocked it down. Duran destroyed that ball. It's a sack fly, and the game is tied at 1.
So close.
I was like, oh, grand salami for Jaren Duran. It's caught. Shoot.
And Will is a veteran play-by-play guy. You know that happened to your buddy Christian Fourier, right?
I was asking Stace to find the audio.
Game, Fourier was allowed to do play-by-play for the Red Sox.
You're kidding me.
And he had an example of that, although I don't know that it was ever close to even being out of the ballpark.
Oh, is that right?
One of the best calls in the history of baseball on the radio.
Best and worst.
What was the?
That's what made it the best.
What was the exercise there to see that? I think anybody
begged.
Can.
Oh no!
They had OMF call. No, they had. They were kind of bandying different shows about, and OMF was doing a broadcast or doing a couple down at JetBlue for spring training, and they got to call a game.
Yeah, but he kind of begged. It was cocky.
Oh, I know. I had to host after the show was over.
Was he like anybody can call a baseball
basically,
game? That's what I'm getting at.
Yes.
Will get there.
They all do it, though. John Sterling for the Yankees had a million
high.
Of those.
It is far. It is caught.
And, you know, on a cold night,
the wind
night,
was a factor.
Wind,
right.
Ball's not traveling.
I'm giving him a break.
You don't like excuses, Ted.
Rip him. No excuses.
You had to chuckle. You had to chuckle. I chuckled from that.
I bet you
Lord
he didn't
knows
chuckle.
He needs one because yeah. Will is in a mood these days, and he deserves to be.
He's got one of these voices that just kind of disarms me. I've told you that. I like Will's voice. It just okay. I'm at ease. But you know, and he's kind of an assassin with his criticism. It's subtle, but it's like. He's very, very sharp in his criticism, and you call it disappointment. It's criticism in his style, but he's not happy with this team.
And he did that the other night because I listen to him most nights on my drive home, listen to the call. Yeah. And the other night, the anthem
man.
Played, and he was like, tremendous anthem, other than the couple missteps. And I was like,
hey, Stanford, easy on the anthem.
Easy.
Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know who it was. It wasn't a kid, but it was like, tremendous, other than the couple missteps in the middle. And I was like, oh, that took a critical turn there, Will. But he is so disappointed in this baseball team because, A, he loves baseball. He loves good baseball. And he was all in on this team.
Yeah.
He was among those,
he was.
If you believe they were overrated, Will Fleming was part of the overrating. He was all in on Bregman and the culture and the pitching staff and what it was going to mean to have Crochet and everybody else. And I think right now he's kind of annoyed by what he – and he has to watch it every single night for nine innings.
And if you remember, just the people that covered the Celtics this past year, in the months of January and February, where they'd win two, lose two, win two. It's that middling that drives you insane.
You can read it.
Yes.
Right? It is just being – right. A 500 team is, I think, one of the hardest teams to cover.
Yes.
Is the 500 team.
Mm-hmm. Because and yes, it is very difficult, especially talk about it on a nightly basis. Right. And it's like there's no trends. There's no, oh, I see this happening because you thought you saw that three times and it never came to fruition. But we need to get to our guy. I know you're trying to avoid the topic, Ted. I know you're willing to bulldog him about first base.
Houston bros.
But yesterday, Alex Cora told us he even agreed with Fitzy when Fitzy joked maybe it'd be a complete game for Garrett Crochet, your ace. The bullpen was
his
down.
His first ever.
Fitzy asked him, are you going to bring anybody up to make some changes in the bullpen? Nope, we're not going to do that. And he said six or seven innings the big guy.
He did.
And then the big guy had 85 pitches. The big guy struck out Juan Soto three times. Juan Soto, $750 million worth of ball player. Struck him out three times. And then out comes the manager to a pitcher who didn't know he had any sort of limits. A pitcher who himself post-game said, I had 115 in my mind. I was thinking I would throw 115, that's what they would need for me tonight. Maybe go seven innings, whatever. Can you defend this? Can you explain? Did he get a report from that you like to say the nerds, the analytics? Did they tell him? Maybe at 2:45 when he left the studio with you guys, he rode back and he was like, they want to hold Crochet to only 85 pitches tonight. I probably shouldn't have told those guys that he was going to go seven innings.
Whoa, my goodness.
And here comes Alex Cora.
Will Fleming didn't like it. Will Middlebrooks didn't like it.
Everybody was surprised.
Nobody liked it. Crochet didn't like it. Why did it happen?
I think that's a little bit of Alex kind of placating to his star. I mean, I think Crochet's the star of the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's just kind of, you know what? You just struck out Juan Soto. Boom. It's just with a few pitches, third time. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to pull you right now, brother. Sit down. We got you. And just to kind of have his back and support him in that way. When it's kind of like, you know what, Alex? You need to win games more than you need to win the affection of your star player. And I think Garrett Crochet is the most prized kind of possession that he has right now, other than the young guys that are still at AAA. So I think he was trying to appeal to his sensibilities, even though I think part of the Crochet sticking out his hand is a little bit of an act, a little bit of a Chris Sale kind of overselling. That's okay. I like that. So, I want him to be okay. That
horse.
Way. I want him to be that way. Show that you're disappointed. And I think it was kind of placating to the star more than anything, getting him out at a time where he could feel really good about himself. He just struck out Juan Soto for the third time. I'm going to go get him now. He's going to feel real good. And that's going to be good. And then you saw what happened. I almost question putting Hendricks back out again to start the sixth.
I was just going to ask you that. Why not use the same logic with Hendricks? After he gets the two outs, why doesn't he need to feel good?
It's just Hendricks versus Crochet.
But Hendricks is a guy that hasn't had success this year. You originally penciled Hendricks in as the closer in spring training. Hendricks knew it. Everybody kind of talked about it.
And part of it might have been because the Hendricks comments about wanting to play more was before the game, was it not?
And then he reiterated them, but yes. Yes.
So you know, my feeling is that's Cora having his players back. Oh, okay. You know what? He's not happy with the innings that he's been getting. Let's put him back out there again. This is what he wanted. So Alex,
I don't like any of
Alex
this.
Is
I don't
backing
like that. Is
players
he proving something?
That he feels that he's backing his players and they're letting him down. He's living up to his end of the bargain. They are not living up to their end.
He's a pushover.
It's probably how he feels.
I think he's a pushover then.
He is.
So Devers, to some degree. Oh, Devers, you don't want to play first? Don't worry about it.
Part of being a manager in baseball is having a slight bit of pushover kind of mentality. I do. Yeah. Especially with the veteran players. Especially with the veterans. Christian Campbell, those other guys, Tristan Casas, they get moved around in the order. Yep. They get moved at positions. Not the older veteran guys.
So my retort to Liam Hendricks is very simple. You were going to be the closer of this baseball team until you stunk in the spring. So the reason you don't pitch
I'm with you.
Because you weren't good in the spring. If you had done your job in the spring, you would be on the baseball field in a high leverage role. Even if you were, even if you somehow lost the job to Chapman, you'd still be a high leverage regular role guy. You were so bad that you were on the IL and you had to work back and all these things. And since then, Slayton and Chapman and Whitlock
and Weissert
have evolved into their roles. The guys that he trusts, high leverage situations. You went from competing to be the closer to trying to find a role.
Yeah.
Like, you need to figure out who you are and what you're going to contribute to this bullpen.
Yeah.
So pitch better and you'll pitch more.
That's right.
It's not that hard.
And,
it's
pretty simple. And dude, don't get hurt in spring training.
Right. Right.
Like, what, one pitch in spring training? Oh, my ab.
You've got to be
the Casas of pitchers.
Yeah. So I don't, and I know he's had a history and he's worked through a lot of things, but I'm just talking about here and now.
Like, bro, really?
It's really
simple.
Does
this team need that comment at this time?
No. And that's the other thing. I keep going back to the Patriots last year where we started to hear these little things like, oh, I'm not happy with this and I'm not happy when you shouldn't. And Devers. Hey, I don't want to play further. You know, we play that Arcan cut all the time of Arcan, you know, bitching about Devers and his sensitivities. And now I have to hear Hendricks bitch about his role. And it's just, how about we just play? Like, you're supposed to be a really talented team, and you're supposed to have a great clubhouse. That's the other thing I've heard. Great clubhouse with a great manager with great communication skills.
You just do what Bregman does. Keep your mouth shut. Buy guys suits. Go out there and ball out every night.
Right.
Like, it's that simple.
And that's where I go back to, I don't want to extrapolate one night from Cora, even though I think it was a big night, coming off two games that Ramon Vasquez won. And he won by being great with his usage of the bullpen.
You don't think Ramon maybe screwed him a little bit?
That's Dan Ball's argument. Yeah. God forbid Ramon Vasquez tried to win games. Maybe if we tried to win games more often, we'd win games more often. It's the damnedest idea.
I know. It's like
the craziest.
It's like
thing.
The season ended when Ramon Vasquez stopped being manager and there wasn't a game on.
You know when the season's going to end? 162, because right now they're not good enough to play a 163rd game. And if you don't start treating some of these games in the first half of the season like they matter, it's not going to matter in the second half of the season.
Are we getting, though, clouded by what maybe is the bigger problem?
You
what is
tell
the bigger
me.
Problem?
Do tell.
16 strikeouts?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody
can
hit the damn ball?
No offense.
The offense
like
is
zero
offensive.
Offense.
Yes. It's Story stinks. Story is just...
How much longer is this going to go before
Marcelo Meyer just goes to short?
Sure.
Like, that's the other thing. We're overthinking this. The shortstop stinks, and you have a great young shortstop.
I think there's enough games, enough sample with Trevor, where if I'm the manager, again, an older veteran player like Trevor, I think is a blind spot for Cora. I do. I think he has a hard time demoting those guys, disappointing those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But there's enough evidence now where you see Trevor's been moved up and down the lineup probably four times.
Yes.
I think I've counted four different times he's been moved. I don't know what else Cora can do to convey to Trevor, you know what, bud? This ain't working. We're gonna have to demote you. We're gonna have to bring the young kid up. And you know what? Try and find your swing back in AAA, and then maybe we bring you back up. But
or just put him into the mix at second base.
Yeah.
Bring Meyer up at shortstop. Make him the everyday shortstop. And now Trevor Story, you get some days off. You get some days to work on things. You'll be working with Hamilton and whatever the mix is that ends up being
so
over at
second
like base.
So he becomes like an infield utility guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably a higher percentage
That's
of it. More
awfully
of like a
expensive utility guy.
Well,
you know what else is expensive?
Masataka.
When one of the worst hitters in baseball. Like, he stinks.
Right.
Right now, Trevor Story can't hit.
That's why he's still hitting. That's why he's still out there, because of his salary.
The salary.
Is that okay with everybody? Everybody okay with that?
I mean, this is where...
I wanted him off there weeks ago, Ted.
But this is where baseball is the whole Dan Ball mentality. It's a super long season. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Like Lou the other day when he was talking about Duran. Well, if you go back to look last year, 56 games in, he had similar numbers, and then he blew up. Or... Mm-hmm. You know, the old Pedroia story. The first month he was terrible. Then what happened? Laser show. Like, there's a lot of baseball people that believe guys have extended stretches, 30, 40, 50 games, and then pull out of it. And that's just the nature of baseball, especially a veteran, especially a guy like Trevor Story, who you feel like he's been a productive big league hitter. He's been an all-star caliber player.
Good teammate, helping. All that.
Yeah, all of that.
Yeah.
But then the flip side of that is, at some point, if you still believe Alex Cora, and he tells us this all the time, right? They're a good baseball team. They're a good baseball team. And they're going to play important games late in the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not if you don't start winning some of the games
team.
Early
we got a good
in the
team.
Year. You don't have a good team right now. I need to open his eyes for a second. Not a good team. You have like two hitters.
There's nine in a lineup, right? And you got like two that you can count on, basically. And maybe you're starting to muster one or two others, but you basically have been getting by with like two hitters. Your pitching, your bullpen has been great and terrible at various point, little short stints over the last couple weeks.
They're being overfished is why. They're not getting enough consistent quality starts.
I always give myself an A, bro.
Well, but Cora would...
I bet Stiz.
That was well-timed. It good was job, buddy. Good. Even though he said it in jest, no one cares.
I think Cora would agree with Fitzy, though. I think he's disappointed in the starting pitching not going longer.
And ironically, he pulled Garrett Crochet.
Giolito so far has been... stiffish or stiff adjacent. You've gotten great stuff from Hunter. I'm sorry.
Dobbins.
Thing. I was going to say.
The guy who's pitching well, you don't learn his name?
No, my apologies. I mean, he's such a local legend. Yeah. I was overwhelmed by his greatness. But Richard Fitz gets hurt. Walker Buehler's only able to go more than five in every other start, it seems. Crochet, we were looking for seven or eight in domination last night. Now you got the 5 1/3 controversy. There is not... If they get simple six innings or more out of their starters and don't strike out more than 12 times, guess what? They win.
617-779-7937. Let's work in your thoughts on the Alex Cora pulling Crochet. Let's go to David in Massachusetts of the United States. What's up, David?
I'm in Palmer, Massachusetts.
Nice. Cool.
I like to say that Alex Cora sometimes doesn't manage the pitching right. To say Crochet can only go five innings last night, that was total bull. I gotta say that. And the bullpen has already been taxed the last two games, so why pull Crochet early?
All right, thanks for the call, David.
It's usually incredulous. When you do get on the line, maybe just stop whatever it is you're doing and concentrate.
That was Belichick like.
It was just
trying to start a fire.
Typing away.
With the afternoon show here. He would do the conference.
Yep.
And then he'd be like, "Oh, did you guys ask a question? What was it?"
So David didn't. I don't think David heard the comments from Alex Cora after the game, and to which he said he would have said it to you if he was here. David, I have to consider not just today. I have to consider down the road.
Yeah,
games down the road that we haven't played. That is the justification for Alex Cora pulling Crochet out of the game when he did was, I got to think about him pitching in August and September and October as well.
But that flies in the face, a little bit of what they've been doing. He's been pitching 90 to 100 plus. He had 110 pitch outing. Now, maybe that's the reason. Maybe they felt like it was starting to get ahead of where they wanted to be at this point in the calendar. Also would be a reason, maybe Fitzy, here's a crazy idea. I don't know, some crazy guy.
I already like it.
Maybe bring somebody up, make a little roster move to have good a luck. Fresh arm in the pen.
Or somebody's.
Just crazy idea. Could have done something.
How about
like
somebody's?
That. Yeah, I get that there could be a reason. I just don't. Something went wrong. Something smells funny. Something smells funny with the way this went down to me. I don't think Alex Cora is a liar. I don't think he wants to come on our show and just lie to us. I think he will manipulate the truth a little bit, like all coaches do, but I don't think he wants to be the guy that lied at 2:15 and then was proven a liar 4 hours later.
Yeah. No big deal.
So right? the big word of the day is communication.
Yes.
Maybe the nerds didn't tell Alex Cora what their plan was for Crochet, and so you get mixed up. And
yes.
You go on our show and say he's going to pitch 6-7, and the nerds are like, no, he's going to pitch 85 pitches.
Why do the nerds have more say than the guy you pay to handle the ball players?
Oh, that's the world we live in. You ever hear AI I know. And everything? No, like, nerds are taking
especially
over the world.
Baseball.
Speaking of nerds, Dan Ball, what do you got?
Thank you. To represent the nerds, it could very well be a Breslow and Bailey tandem plan that's being rolled out on behalf of the pitching staff that Alex Cora is then involved in implementing.
So we have a $7 million manager Breslow who's not part of the pitching plan?
You know what?
Not great.
Not great. I agree with you.
He's paid to take all the bullets. We're all going to blame, a lot of us are going to blame Alex for that call.
Yeah.
When my guess is there was a nerd in his head that said, take him on out.
Yeah, but why can't you have a cheaper bullet
remove
taker?
Remove him.
What? Why can't you have a cheaper bullet taker? Like, you cheaper. Paid Alex
you're worried about the salary
of
the manager?
No, but I just don't get it. I don't get the plan. An organization that's been cheap at times in recent years.
Because the manager of the Red Sox is a high-stressful, high-profile job that's worth a lot of money.
Does he know he's just a shield?
He's probably
finding out.
No, he's probably learned that and
a
is okay with
PR
it because
shield. Wow.
He's got $7 million in the bank. So
okay, well, I'm just going to say this. I'm looking forward to next Wednesday around 2:15 or 2:30 when we talk to
you're gonna call
Alex
him a liar?
Gore. I am not going to call him a liar, even though he lied to me. I'm going to ask him if
Fitzy's going to call you a liar here.
I will ask him. He's giggling in the background. That's not nice, laughing at us. I will ask him if he feels like he lied to us. Is that a fair question?
I don't think so, but go for it. You
misled
do it.
I shouldn't.
I don't know if I'll have you back on that. I'll be like,
why is that not fair?
I don't think it's you know.
Or what if I just
no,
say
man. No, man? Come
okay.
on.
Okay, what if I say what changed between 2:15 last Wednesday when you told us you were looking
you
for
go.
Crochet to
That's
go
fair.
Six or seven mm-hmm. and help
That's
you out with
fair.
The bullpen, and then you took him? Is that fair?
That's fair.
That's the wording.
I don't think it's the manager's job to tell us what the game plan is before the game.
And no, then, I agree.
And then when he doesn't do the game plan that he told us before the game, to call him a liar.
No, I agree. It's not his job to give us the game plan. But if he gives us something, I think that I would like it to be somewhat
you're
truthful.
Like, you thought you were different. You thought you were.
No, like, I would just say if I were him, I wouldn't say six or seven. I would say we're looking for Garrett to give us a good
as long
game.
As
when
he
you see
can.
Him next Wednesday, just tell him that. Say next time.
I will.
Alex.
I don't love being lied to. I might work that in there.
All right.
I'm not afraid of him like I would be of Bill. Hey, it might not go well, and maybe he'll be doing the midday show with Jones and Keefe shortly thereafter, but it wouldn't be the first time in the course of this station. It is Thursday. We're coming up on 5:30. That means it is time for the man with the great drops today to take center stage. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it is time for Quiz with Stiz.
Deep left center. This is out of here.
No, it isn't. Short.
This guy down here, he thought it was a home run.
Damn it.
Unlike the Boston Red Sox, I'm on a win streak, baby. One is a win streak.
Does one necessarily qualify as a streak?
The way I've been playing, I'm calling that a streak. It's 5:30. WEEI Afternoons on a Thursday. That means it is time for Quiz with Stiz.
All right, boys.
Here we go.
You know the name. You song. Know the game. Quiz with Stiz. Andy Hart, Nick Stevens. Nick's been on a roll, I believe, 4-1.
Yeah,
four
but
to two.
Terrible.
No, that's right, 4-2. Andy had a big dub last week.
Terrible, terrible loss last week. Up 5-2. I ashamed everybody on Team Stevens.
Kind of a Knicks performance.
It was. That was my game one Celtics Knicks.
Yeah. All right, let's move it along here. Dan, you want to lay down some quick ground rules?
Yes, it is Andy Hart versus Nick Fitzy Stevens. Each host will get a question from the Quizmaster Stiz. They will get the chance to answer on whatever topic he has chosen for this week. If they get it wrong, the other host will get the chance to steal. If neither get it, that'll open up for multiple choice. It is the first to five correct answers winning our quiz. Don't forget, we have the Ted Johnson Lifeline. Both hosts can use it. If Ted gets it right, it opens up a second lifeline. Andy would rather do anything than use it. But if they do not get it, if he does not get it right, it negates the second one. And we send it back to the Quizmaster himself, Stiz.
All right, boys. Before I give you tonight's theme, Andy won last week. Andy, heads or tails?
Tails never fails.
And it didn't tonight. You will start off. Tonight's theme for the quiz, George Strait. No, I'm joking. I'm totally joking.
I would have had a shot.
Tonight's theme, boys, is Red Sox managers.
Okay.
Red Sox managers.
Okay,
All right. Andrew, your first question.
Ted's already shaking. I have no confidence in my lifeline. He's shaking his head and putting his head
That's
down.
That's all right. Maybe,
yeah, you
maybe
never
it's
do.
A fake out. All right, Andy. After four seasons managing the Red Sox, Johnny Pesky left Boston to join this clubhouse.
Let's go with the Washington Nationals.
No.
Not being in existence.
I don't think they were
I know, I couldn't, it was, I was thinking Ted Williams was the manager and he's joining Washington, but I couldn't think
I
of their
it.
Name.
My guess, right?
Yes.
I'll say the Yankees.
No. Oh. Andy, was it A, the Padres, B, the White Sox, C, the Pirates?
Mm-mm-mm. How about the Pirates?
Andy Hart is on the board.
Way to go.
Another Andy. Lucky effing guess.
Way to go, man.
All right, Nick.
It's not lucky.
Nicholas.
It can be both. Yes.
He was the manager of the Red Sox in 2012.
Hey, Ordway, come on over here so I can pop you in the face. I sound a lot like Arcan. It's Bobby Valentine.
One more.
Bobby V.
1-1.
All
right.
The rap, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah. Andrew. Terry Francona won the 1980 College World Series with this team and was even named the tournament's most outstanding player.
Terry Francona. Where did he go to college and win the College World Series? Let's go. How about Texas?
No. Nick.
Ted. You got a good guess?
Better than yours.
It's good. What mine's just going to be out of the blue. So
I don't have a good. If you're asking me before you ask me, or
no, that's
I have now engaged the lifeline.
I don't. I mean, I can guess.
Sure, that's
okay.
Five
I'm
going to
say Clemson.
Ooh, no,
sorry. Those were a good guess.
Andy, A. Arizona Wildcats. B. Miami Hurricanes. Ooh. C. Georgia Yellow Jackets.
What's the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets.
Okay. Yep. I was a bit confused. Is it Georgia or the Yellow
Georgia
Jackets?
Georgia Bulldogs or the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets?
Georgia Tech. What was the second one? Sorry.
Miami Hurricanes.
No. What was the first one?
Arizona Wildcats.
Give me Arizona.
I'll give you a point, sir.
Yeah!
That was the right answer.
Because I would have thought if it was Georgia Tech, I would have heard about that because that's where Veritech
All right. Very interesting. Uh-huh. Great story.
All right, Nick.
Great story.
Nick, Alex Cora was drafted in the 12th round in the 1993 MLB draft by which team?
I want to say the Cleveland Indians.
Did you say the Cleveland Indians?
Okay, I did. No, I wanted to and I did.
How about the Chicago White Sox?
No, sorry. Nick?
Yep.
A, the New York Mets. B, the Phillies. C, the Twins.
Let's go with the Mets.
No.
I'm toast.
Andrew.
This game's over.
So it's either the Phillies or whatever. What was the first one?
Mets.
Mets or Phillies. Let's go Phillies.
No. Minnesota Twins.
Wow.
Alex Cora's first team.
How about that?
David Ortiz is also there.
Before coming to manage the Boston Red Sox, John Farrell left this team with a record of 154 wins and 170 losses.
Blue Jays?
That's right.
Yeah, let's go. The Lobsterman lives on.
All right, Nick. How many home runs did Alex Cora have while playing for the Red Sox?
Four.
Said with enthusiasm.
12.
Okay.
Nicholas, was it A, 2, B, 5, C, 9?
So four was a good guess.
I didn't think I was far off. I'll go with 2.
Here we go. Two home runs, Alex.
Needed
Cora
that lifeline.
Were they out of the park?
They counted.
Somehow, some way, they counted.
All right, Andrew.
Surviving.
What's the score? Can I get a score update?
3-2.
3-2, you threw 6 questions.
Okay, let's go.
Andy. He managed the Red Sox in 2002.
Grady Little?
Ooh. That's a good guess.
Got it.
He managed Let's for two go. Years, 2002 and 2003, taking over for someone else.
That's right.
Who I will not give out the name of in case he comes up.
That's right. All right, Nick.
Yeah, question number 8. Yes, here I am.
In 1967 spring training.
My birth year.
This Red Sox manager implemented a dress code and stripped the title of team captain from Carl Yastrzemski.
Oh, yes.
Hardo.
Coming in. Just,
Zimmer.
No.
Was he a real Dick Williams?
He got it.
Yeah!
It's over. It's over.
Got it.
V is for victory.
I knew. Oh.
Two in a row. That's a streak, bitches.
Andy Hart climbs to within one of Fitzy. It's now 4-3.
Dick Williams. Why did I think it was Zimmer?
Yeah, I thought you were going to get that one.
He did manage.
Because I think Dick Williams was, Ted, like a... A hard O.
Yep. I get it, obviously.
Yeah, so he was the 60, who was the manager in 75?
I don't know.
Well, I mean,
the other guy, Zimmer.
It was. Okay, so I got my World Series.
Yes, about 67, not 75.
All right.
I got confused.
Yeah, sorry.
Andrew, this Red Sox manager finished the season with a .400 winning percentage, the lowest for the franchise since the 1965 Red Sox, who had a .383.
.400 winning percentage. Finished a season. Oh, Ron Renicky.
Andrew's on fire.
24-36.
See,
I knew that one
tonight.
Too.
You know, this is
so
a
I know
good
the
one.
Answer to his questions. Not
All right,
mine.
Last question, boys.
Okay,
last question. All right, Nicholas, this Red Sox manager has a giant lying lie hole after lying through his teeth to a few handsome radio hosts about his ace pitcher.
Jimmy Williams.
No, I'm sorry.
Butch Hobson.
No, I'm sorry. Close. Nicholas, was it A, Alex Cora, B, Alex Cora, or C, Alex Cora?
I don't know, you guys. We scored 16 in New York. Suck on that. Yeah.
And that is how you play Quiz with Stids. Congratulations, Andrew. So now 4-3.
4-3. Tightening it.
Now it's a streak. Bro.
Now I'm still chasing the Yankees, though, like the Red Sox. I gotta keep
Good
going. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, time for Odds and Ends as we lead into reminder 4 hours of Christian Arcand. I got ahead of myself.
You're
Relax.
Supposed to make people excited for it. Like that was like a warning.
Well, it. I mean,
we all agree he's going to be in a mood. He's
going to
be in a mood.
What you're saying.
After last night's game, that is a warning. You get 4 hours of Christian Arcand coming off Alex Cora pulling crochet after 5 1/3 innings. So tune in, stay tuned, and be ready to get yelled at a little bit. But first, we got Odds and Ends, WEI Afternoon. I feel like I'm being set up here. In a few moments, we're going to talk about something that's apparently called street meat. But before we get to that, I got to squeeze in a phone call. Justin in New Hampshire wants to chime in on the Celtics and Joe Mazzulla. What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great.
Listen, I think this. I've listened to a couple of people talk about Mazzulla and the need to be fired. I think it's absolutely ludicrous. A guy was named interim head coach, and I think by the 2022-2023 season, won his first championship in his first full season as official head coach. He handles the media well. He's a smart guy. The players respect him. Look, Boston's going to regret this decision. Or if they made the decision to get rid of him, did he mismanage the minutes in the playoffs versus the Knicks? Absolutely. Do people mismanage minutes? Do good coaches do that from time to time? Yes. I think this is a giant mistake if they do it. I think it's absolutely insane. And I think anybody that thinks that they've got the right answer is wrong. There's no replacement that is going to be better than Joe Mazzulla right now.
Thanks for the call, Justin.
Amen, Justin.
Ted, quick retort.
No, it's not necessarily Mazzulla that's the biggest issue. It's the system that is on trial for me.
Right, but
and I question the system.
Right. I mean, I know we talk about Brad Stevens, but the on-court leader of the system is Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah.
So they're kind of
part. So I question that.
Coming up here on Odds and Ends, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. So I'm being told we have some audio that relates to street meat.
I love this clip.
And I don't know what street meat is.
You don't?
I could think of what I would call street meat.
Okay, before we play
I don't
play
think I can say it.
Yeah, don't do that.
Before we play the clip, give your best guess, like legitimate guess, not just playing a joke, on what street meat is.
I mean, Julia Roberts in...
Oh, dear God.
All right, let's play the clip, huh?
You asked me for my best guess.
Andy.
That's street beef, Andy.
Isn't
not street meat? It's totally different.
And beef and meat and beef are sort of interchangeable?
Oh, that's pretty good.
Okay, imagine like you're walking the streets of a city, and they have
Julia
Roberts.
It's street meat.
And then all of a sudden you have a little thing of pearls, and you clap it down in her hands, and she goes, "Ah!" And it's a parable for Cinderella. No. Different cities have different delicious foods to consume.
Steak and cheese.
Sort of. Why don't you play the clip, Dan?
Yeah, please do.
Chuckster, I know you were looking forward to this trip because, and I don't know if you've been able to indulge in any street meat.
Tomorrow.
Oh, no.
Tomorrow
I'm getting a street meat. How about if there was some made available
right
to
now,
you
street
right
meat
now.
With that white sauce.
Got the white sauce.
That meat, man. I don't even care what kind of meat it is. Dog, rat, cat. with that white sauce.
There's just no stopping. There is absolutely no stopping. There's no hesitation.
I don't even know what...
That's good meat, Chuck.
That's good. I don't even know what it is when I'm up in New York. But I know once they put that white sauce on the tray, it's good to go.
Oh my God.
Come on.
He's a walking meme.
You see that little white truck? My heart just starts fluttering. I see that little white truck.
So, Andy, you can go in New York City. They have all these little street carts on the corner, and a lot of them have like chicken and rice or some sort of lamb-ish type thing or beef.
And you usually
the white sauce is like a ranch tahini type of mix. It's really, really, really delicious. It's not just hot dogs or hamburgers. Like, they usually just call it street meat, and you just get like a big, oversized. It feeds two, three usually. Guys like Chuck, Shaq will put away two or three themselves. It's delicious. It's so terrible for you. And
I'm not sure I like the idea of sort of unknown meat.
Just it's, as long as the sauce is on it. Don't worry about what the meat is.
It's hot, Ted. It's hot sauce and the white sauce. Street meat.
Gotcha.
I mean, there is a little bit of trust involved. You kind of have to trust.
I was going
to
say,
you want to go to the halal cart where it's really.
Are they all interchangeable, or any place I find street meat, they're all the same?
Usually Midtown.
Okay.
Quick question: Is Ernie going with the boys over to ESPN, or is it just Chuck and Kenny and Shaq?
Well, I think they're going.
I think they're all going.
Oh, yeah. Ernie's going too
because they've been complaining about it that they weren't allowed to negotiate their own deal. Like they were kind of traded.
Okay.
There was like, and they've kind of been bitching about it. Kenny was bitching the most about it.
Because he didn't want to go. Didn't he say I'm a Turner loyalist?
I don't think any of these guys wanted to go.
I think they basically got traded. It was a, like in sports, there are trades. They got traded to a different network.
Interesting.
Dan Ball.
The Inside the NBA studio crew featuring all four will move to ESPN and ABC starting next year, part of a settlement between Warner Brothers, Discovery, and the NBA, allowing ESPN to air the program.
Christian Arkand is here.
It's like a custody battle.
Yeah, a little bit.
We get Barkley, you get Ernie, you get to visit Kenny on weekends.
Wait, didn't they do that when Joe Buck was like basically traded from Fox to ESPN?
Oh, yeah, there was a trade. There's been a couple of those
trades. The rights to a TV show were sent back.
Yeah, yeah. There's been a couple of those. It's weird. Hello. You're excited for 4 hours of the Christian Arkand show?
Bet your rosy red ass I am. Yes.
What are you talking about?
We got a lot of Red Sox to get to, obviously. You were right. I'm going to be yelling a little bit about that. The Knicks and the Pacers, for sure. We're going to talk with Gordo from the Play Tessie podcast. Gordo. I tried really hard. And by this, I mean, I sent a DM to try and get someone from the Canton Confidential show. You guys all watch that on NBC 10? The Karen Reed wrap up show?
No.
Oh, you guys are all lying, first of all.
I'm not lying.
You don't watch that show? I watch that show every day. I get off from the post game show and I put that show on.
You finish the show, yeah.
Yes, I do. Anyways, I got big timed, which I'm a little bummed out about. But we will talk about that at 8:32 and all the other fun stuff we have over the course of a very rare 4 hour Arkand show. We don't get a lot of these anymore.
Well, Mother Nature helped you out a little
bit. Sure did.
So stay tuned. Christian Arkand show. As I predicted, he'll be yelling a little bit about the Red Sox. Alex Cora, Garrett Crochet. We will be back tomorrow. Actually, these two guys will be back tomorrow. I am off tomorrow. They will be a mini show. Yeah, I got a thing.
About 4:30 or so.
Yeah, 4:30-ish, squeezed in between a couple Red Sox baseball games. But depending on the weather, though, we'll see what happens. But
No wonder you were defending Cora for taking that off.
Oh, yeah. We got to stick together, peeps. All right. Ted Johnson and Nick Fitzy Steven tomorrow afternoon. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Talk to you.
What is wrong with you,
Ramon?
I thought we were friends.
My name is
Alex.
Your name is Liar because you're telling lies.